Welcome to Scaling the Gap, the podcast for leaders who refuse to settle. I'm Madeline McRae, CEO and co-founder of ProQ. Here, we cut through the noise to tackle the real challenges of scaling your business while staying true to your purpose. Every episode brings candid conversations, proven strategies, and the kind of insights that don't just inform, they ignite action. If you're ready to stop talking about impact and start making it, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Well, hey, everybody, and welcome back to another fantastic episode of Scaling the Gap. I have an incredibly cool individual to introduce you to today. She is a powerhouse leading a brand in a highly male-dominated field, and I am so excited to jam with her for a little while here with you. And she has so many exciting things to share about the brand, the business, the accolades they're getting, what transformational things have happened this year, and I cannot wait to share her with you. So, Kelly Hoven, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Madeline. Good afternoon. Good to see you.
I am delighted to have you, and we have been having the best chats in all of our pre-chats. So for those of you listening at home, one of the best parts about podcasting, of course, is the show and the guests, but it's all those pre and post chats that you get to have because so many interesting dynamics show up. So Kelly and I are going to have a fantastic time. So you guys just buckle in and get ready for some wisdom to drop. So
let's go.
Let's go. So before we get diving in, Kelly, why don't you share with our people a little bit about who you are and the work you do in this world?
I'm Kelly Hoven, a brand president for a brand called Gatsby Glass, which is a culmination of leveraging my entire career. I've spent over 30 years in sales and marketing in the corporate world, and about 24 and a half of those years have been spent in franchising. I've been on both sides of franchising. So I've been on the corporate side, helping to support franchise owners scale their business in a meaningful way. But I've also been a franchise owner in a home service business in a major metropolitan area. So I've launched a business with client zero and built and scaled a business personally, in addition to helping to support franchise owners on the corporate side. And so what I do today really leverages all of those years of experiences coupled with my educational background. So I got an undergrad in industrial organizational psychology and an MBA in sales and marketing. So I'm very passionate about what I do, and being able to support and lean into the why for our franchise owners is very meaningful for me. And so I love doing what I do.
I love it. And you are my very first guest who ever had a degree in industrial organizational psychology. And I certainly took note of that. Very cool. Typically, not always the typical profile. Right. So I really appreciate that, like, curiosity about how organizations and individuals tick and think, and yes, what is the magic behind the magic, right?
Yes. An interesting story there. I went for my undergrad to get a PhD in psychology and quickly learned that there wasn't the same kind of money available to that, coupled with the student loans to get a PhD. So I quickly pivoted to the marketing side of psychology and just fell in love with it. And then added on to that the whole group dynamics and the communication side of it and the goal setting side of it. And that's just been my passion ever since.
Yeah, it's so cool. There's so much, when you understand the dynamics of how people tick and how a group ticks, there's so much you can do to influence an outcome in the most subtle and powerful ways. It's one of my favorite things, the subtlety of it.
I feel like I leverage that every single day in what I do. And I don't know many people that can say that about what they have their education in. So I find that to be pretty fulfilling.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I was a lit major, and in some ways the communication side of it and the writing of book side I do use it, but not as concretely. And the line is a little bit more dashed or dotted on my side than yours. That's super cool. I love it. Yes. I love it. So why don't you also share a little bit more about Gatsby Glass, just so that people have an idea of who you serve, what sort of products and services you offer, so that there's some context around there.
Absolutely. Gatsby Glass, we are a glass solution for home and office, very sophisticated, high-end. I was actually employee number one for this concept that was being developed by Horsepower Brands. It didn't even have a name yet. So I had the luxury of being able to really dig into the industry and get a sense for what was out there in this space from a national and regional perspective, and uncovered some opportunities that we could fill in a meaningful way and scale in a meaningful way across the country. And that evolved into what we have today as Gatsby Glass. So think shower enclosures, mirrors, glass railings, wine rooms, office partitions, storefronts, and now we're getting into multifamily projects and other commercial applications, which has been the evolution of the brand. We worked very closely with our founding location, who has excelled on the shower enclosure space, and we quickly added and augmented with all of these additional service lines because we knew that our franchise owners deserve to be able to scale their business and provide a service to our clients in a meaningful way. Because when somebody thinks about a glass company, they think about more than just a shower enclosure. So it made sense for us. And that's been one of the cool things about launching an emerging brand and scaling it, is the evolution from where it started to where it is today.
Yeah. And there was something that you and I chatted about, which is about never being comfortable with the status quo.
Correct.
And that shows up just in like how you're evolving the product offer, the service offer. And I love the heart of it, that your clients and your franchisees deserve to have something that serves the need and scales up. It's beautiful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and that's where it's meaningful for our candidates when they're going through the validation process to feel comfortable that there's a strategy behind this beautiful brand. So if I'm not very humble about this, because the brand is beautiful. It's a sexy brand. It's very appealing because of, again, it's sophisticated. We're catering to a certain audience and a certain demographic. And so it attracts a certain candidate for the business as well. So just because it's a beautiful brand, they need to feel empowered that that brand will stand the test of time and that they will achieve their why, whatever that why might be, by partnering with our team.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, there's something about serving a sophisticated buyer that you have to have that elevation in your brand. You personally have to bring a level of sophistication so that you can not be intimidated by that sophisticated buyer and be able to speak on their terms. I mean, if we're talking wine rooms, we're not, you know, that's not everyone. Not everyone has a wine room. And it's really important to make sure that that match feels really right. So that marketing side, that psychological marketing side on that, making the brand match with the service delivery and the ideal client profile is really elegantly done.
And when you say the word elegant, thank you so much, because that's really, our motto is elegant, strong, innovative. And so to us, it's about leveraging the elegance, the strength of the brand and the strength of the support that the team provides, and also the innovation, because we really lead with some significant technologies to help our franchise owners really leverage that technology in a meaningful way to serve our clients. So
yeah. And that innovative really speaks to your heart of that not settling for the status quo. And even like the strength of character, the strength of leadership that you bring. And then you also have an elegance too. So you embody your brand values in a really personal, real way. And that's a unique component. That's not always the case of a brand leader. So it's really cool.
And that's the luxury of being part of it at the ground floor. Versus coming in after it's already been built. And there was an entire team that put this brand together. And so this entire evolution has been very team focused.
I'm
very blessed to have been surrounded by so many amazing people, including the team that I have today.
Yeah.
Who is utterly committed to each and every franchise owner as passionately as I am. And I'm very blessed with that.
I love it. And it's so intentional. Right.
Yes.
So clear, so intentional. You mentioned the word strategy earlier, strategic component parts. And that's really cool. And your hard work's been paying off, right?
Yes.
You get to brag a little bit on some of the awards and accolades. So tell us a bit.
Yes. Entrepreneur Magazine named us number 22 of the top 150 emerging brands across the country. And wow,
that's
how
pretty cool
that was. And the first thing I did when I read that is I called each and every member of my team to congratulate them. Because without them and this collaboration that we all work on together, there's no way that we would have achieved that. And I rely on this team that I've built. They're all experts in their own right, whether it's the brand operations, the field operations, the commercial operations, the coaching that we do, all experts, all tenured, and to be able to leverage all their intellectual capital in a meaningful way to do this and achieve this, that was extremely fulfilling for me personally.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. That's
Thank
a
you.
Very high honor. And it's
Thank
definitely
you.
Not easily won. So why don't you share a little bit with our audience also about like, what are some of the unexpected hurdles on this build? I'm sure it wasn't all roses, no thorns. So let's dip down to that shadow of here for a moment and see
Absolutely.
What was there.
With any emerging brand, when you're literally building something from scratch, there will definitely be hurdles. And I think the most unexpected one that we experienced is a function of when we leveraged the concept of the owner-operator versus what we initially started out as semi-absentee owner. Mm. And what that meant to a candidate coming in and how they viewed semi-absentee, it wasn't really the right fit because in our world, and especially in the glass business and how precise everything needs, it's a difficult business.
Sure.
So you need to come in with the ability to then hire the right people that have the same passion that you do. And when you don't hire those people or they don't work out, you're really stuck thinking, gosh, this was only supposed to be a 10-hour a week job. So that I could just watch my money roll in. That's not the reality of this business. So I think that was the biggest hurdle that we experienced. It was a function of how our owners coming in with that semi-absentee mindset, what that really meant. And so we've even evolved that vernacular to now calling it more semi-involved. And we set some expectations, even with owners who want to be semi-involved, that if you don't find the right general manager, you're really in trouble. And so it's key. And so you might actually find yourself being more of an owner operator for the first 6 months to the first year and then hire the GM so that you ensure that you understand the various processes. You understand the glass process. You understand the measuring process. You understand the market and how to design an awesome wine room or that glass railing or whatever that specialty project might be, and then bring somebody else in and train them. So that was a significant hurdle for us.
Yeah. I mean, it's really the ideal candidate at any for anything, right? And often it's iterative, right? Think about when you're, you know, as a small business owner, maybe listening here today, you have a ideal candidate in mind. And the story that I always like to tell is I was teaching a seminar once for a group of high-performing business owners, and we were doing a hiring session. And the number one component part about good hiring or good client attraction, that component is understanding what you need, who is going to fit that role. And he had built a business where they had a lot of, you know, they had a high enough volume called customer complaints, trouble, issue. He called them steaming bags of poop on his desk. That's what he called them. But enough of them that he felt he needed a person to handle those sort of difficulties. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had a sizable business, so it wasn't as though like big flashing red sign. It's just the normal, you're humans dealing with humans. There's going to be some ripples along the way. And the profile he thought he wanted was someone effervescent. And he said, you can hear their smile through the phone. And he thought he wanted someone a little bit more junior in their career who he could shape and mold. And I was just watching in my mind what that was going to do, right? You're taking a can of soda and you're dropping in an Alka-Seltzer and it's going to give an explosion, right? Mm-hmm. What you really need is a glass of milk. Someone who's seen some life, someone who's been through some stuff, someone for whom your scheduling delay is not the worst thing that's ever happened in their life, right? Where if you have someone who's very junior in their career, maybe that is the worst thing that's happened in their professional career, right? Like your upset is actually their worst day so far. Where if you hire someone that doesn't have that different profile. So, but that, you know, we prevented him from making that mistake by workshopping it through. Mm-hmm. But it's really common that you make an assumption based on what you think you need. You often trial it in the real world, have to skin your knees a bit, and then you have to recalibrate based on the new information, unless someone challenges that assumption in a really dramatic way from the start to get you to rethink it.
Well, and our experience and my own personal experience being in franchising for as long as I've been in, I can teach anybody how to be a really strong franchise owner. I can teach anybody how to be a salesperson if you have the right growth mindset, if you have the grit, the will, and the determination to persevere through those challenges and through the difficult times. Especially in this business and with Gatsby Glass, my typical owner has never been in the glass business. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of the educational component, which I have somebody on my team who has been in the glass business for 40 years. I mean, he's forgotten more about glass than anybody would ever know. So, I mean, we've got the resources to be able to educate our owners, but I can't personally motivate them to want to pick up that phone and make the phone call to make things happen. Right. That has to be kind of that inner drive, whether it's the owner-operator model or if it's the semi-involved model, either way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. And sometimes when you're an owner operator, your desires evolve, right? Maybe you get to a place where you no longer, now you want to take the role from owner operator to CEO to semi-involved, right? Exactly. So maybe that's a journey too. And it's cool that both models can apply because you don't get pigeonholed, right? And that allows that innovation, that not comfortable with the status quo, that capacity to evolve, even to apply to your franchise owners.
Exactly. Right? So,
very beautiful.
Very well said. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So the other flip side, you know, we talked about the shadow a little bit. Let's talk about the light. Is what was one of those unexpected gifts along the way that you could never have seen coming, even with all of your years in franchising, that you have experienced in this journey?
In this journey, several things, actually, Madeline. Number one, how the Gatsby Glass brand is so well received in every single market we've launched. We are disruptors in every single market because our philosophy is not to wait for the phone to ring. We do quite a bit of self-generated lead generation through referral partners and that old-fashioned cold calling and prospecting, networking activities, leveraging social media, leveraging local reputation, and really canvassing or farming the marketplace with door hangers and yard signs. So we make a big splash. And people who have never sold before, like, I don't know how to cold call. Well, you don't have to. All you have to do is pick up the phone and educate them on who you are and why you've made this investment into Gatsby Glass. And guess what? More likely than not, they're excited to be talking to you because they need you and your story resonates with them and they want to work with partners who have the same values and the same commitment to the customer that they do. And it helps their brand as well. So that's been really exciting from the perspective of taking something from concept and seeing it come to fruition. So when you take that coupled with the evolution of the brand, where we started out really in the shower enclosures and mirrors almost exclusively, and now we're really venturing into the true commercial space in a meaningful way. And I just recently brought on a director of commercial operations who has over 13 years of experience as a project manager for high-rise projects with curtain wall and such, and how well the owners are receiving that because they see the next year, they see the next 2 years, but they see 10 years down the road and how meaningful that strategy is.
Sure.
And so it's very exciting to see that relative to what we initially envisioned for this brand. So that's been an unexpected joy.
Yeah.
It really has. And I would say my team, I cannot say enough about this team that I have working lockstep collaboratively with me, that we have a very open door policy of ideas and insights, and we call it backbone within horsepower. And I love hearing dissenting ideas because that's how we get better. And so the team comes to me all the time with their ideas, and it might be something different from what we've done before, but you know what? I want to hear about it. And I think that's one of the beauties of working with people who feel respected and know that they have my trust, they're empowered even more. And so I love that.
Yeah. Ooh, backbone. That's such an interesting idea. Not just the courage, but almost the responsibility to bring a dissenting voice, right? Like if you don't agree, don't be a silent majority over here. Speak up, say something, bring a challenge, right? Is that steel sharpens steel? If you know that they're brilliant and they know that you're brilliant and you're both being brilliant in your own areas and they're able to bring something to you and it not to be shot down or to be a negative Nancy sort of situation over here, but it's really expected and delighted that they bring that dissenting voice, then now it allows it to grow even stronger.
Well, and at the same time, I don't want to be the smartest person in the room.
Sure.
There's a problem there. If I am. And I very much thrive in and am inspired by the members of my team every single day.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love it. There's certainly something so fulfilling about working with people and being able to be catalytic for other people's growth and not just showing it up in your franchise organization, but actually in the corporate build that you've done too, the team that you're building to support your franchisees. Like it's just such a bold impact and fulfillment right there. And then layer it down and then layer it down and just the ripple effect when you're a strong, competent leader who wants to watch others rise up with you, around you, right? And you're in service of them, the massive ripple effect that that has into communities, like actually into people's homes, into people's buildings, into people's space where they make their dreams happen is just really beautiful.
And I take that one step further with my franchise owners as well.
Yeah.
Having that open dialogue where they can call me and they can be upset and it's okay. I want to hear about it. What can we do to fix it? Maybe I can. Maybe it's more helping them recalibrate their mindset, or there's truly a wonderful opportunity to fill a gap somewhere. I want to do that so that the brand can be the best that it can be for them so that they can achieve their why. It's really important. It's kind of the driving force behind everything that we at Gatsby Glass, what we do every day.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And there's just this incredible sense of empowerment, right? Mm-hmm. Just all throughout the dynamic of what you're doing, that elegant, strong, innovative, even that strength is showing up here in this concept of backbone. Right. And in so many different ways. It's so cohesive. It's really well-crafted. It's not always the case that's a unique trait that you are bringing into the marketplace. Love it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are so many exciting component parts to getting to build something from the ground up and being able to watch it kind of start to find its really firm feet. So what's next for the brand? Where are you guys going from here?
Our goal is to be the dominant glass company across the country and just gain market share in a very meaningful way. We are on the cusp of exploding when it comes to bringing on franchise owners. We're in a really great place with the value that we bring to a marketplace, the value that we bring to franchise owners, the processes, the systems, the technology. But we're not done yet. And even from the strategy and scaling in a meaningful way from the commercial perspective, I will always be looking for more technology, better CRM, more resources for my franchise owners. As we continue to grow, I will add to the team as needed, because again, our franchise owners deserve to have the support from the brand in a meaningful way so that they can feel confident and competent and empowered to build their empires. I mean, that's the bottom line. So from that perspective, it's really a function of keeping this well-oiled machine on track and continuing to fuel it and empower it to be successful.
Yep. Yeah, one of my early clients who's been one of those very few people that as I've grown and built, I don't do any private coaching anymore, except for just one company is an exception. And the owner of the company always says his key to success has been to concentrate and dominate. And that's what you guys are doing. You're concentrating and dominating. You're taking all of this ambient market desire, all of this capacity over the fractured market. There's no clear one player like this that you're just coming in, dominating, let's go. Beautiful.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
Exactly.
Love it.
Thank you.
Well, this has been quite an exciting ride just to hear you share today. And it gives me a lot of energy and excitement. I'm a builder too. I love to watch and grow and build things. So I have my final question for you, which is always, you know, for those of you who follow the show, this is my favorite question of all. And so it's with everything that you've built and created and everything that you've done all throughout your career, not just here at Gatsby Glass, do you consider yourself to be successful, Kelly?
I do. Mm-hmm. I do. And here's why. I am filled with gratitude and joy every single day that I wake up, regardless of the stressors, regardless of the challenges that might be part of my day. I love my life. I love what I do. And to me, that's success. I don't know that it's necessarily, it used to not be this way when I was younger. Yeah. It was the title. It was the salary. Yes, that's important. But to me, that's not what defines success. For me, success is found in, do I have great relationships with people? Do people trust me? Do they turn to me and ask for guidance or support or insights? And to me, that's what success really means and what success really is.
Yes, I love it. I love it. One of the things that I love to do, and I'm still writing here, it's hard to write at the speed of the thoughts. So every single guest has a unique perspective on what success means. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about this podcast is that I find that the conversation about success just in the world at large is so small. It's measured in the cheapest thing, which is money,
right?
Anyone can have money, right? The sun shines on the good and bad alike, right? You can make money in nefarious ways. You can make money, or you can have money because it's been given to you, because you've won it, because whatever thing. Mm-hmm. But success is not the same as financial wealth, right? They're two separate considerations. But in the conversations outside of rooms like this, it's so often a single consideration. And that's what you said earlier in my career, it was about the title and the salary and that. And what I have found is that people who are still making the ascent make the false assumption that success has to do with money. But once you have arrived at a certain level of success, you recognize it's not about money. It's about what you can give and what you have to give, right? And what others can receive from you. And the dynamics of what that looks like for every individual person is always so uniquely crafted to who they are and to what is important to them. So I like to backwards engineer a success algorithm that's specific to my guest. So I took a crack at it while you were chatting. So I want to see how well I did. So
okay. It
might be that we have to chat through a little bit more. Something might be missing, but I took some components and I took some liberties based on some of the other things we've talked about throughout our chat. So let's see if we get this right. So for Kelly, success equals loving what I do every day, being filled with joy and gratitude, plus being a trusted mentor and guide, plus empowering the success of others.
I think you hit the nail right on the head.
Nice.
Yes, Madeline. Well done.
Nice. I wonder if there's something about this not being satisfied with the status quo, this innovation, this forward thinking, something there too. I wonder if we're missing a component around that. Is that core to your sense of fulfillment?
Yes, I would say, because I think there's always opportunities to continue to build off of what is today to make things better tomorrow, whether it's the innovation and such. So perhaps, yes.
Finding space for future opportunity.
Yes. There you go. That works.
Yeah. We added that to the end.
Okay.
I'm going to go through it all again one more time with you. Success equals loving what I do every day, being filled with joy and gratitude, being a trusted mentor and guide, empowering the success of others, and finding space for future opportunities. Mm-hmm. This is
beautiful. Love it.
Yes. Me too. It's so exciting to listen to the stories and the threads that people look at to determine. And then you can measure that, right? You can look at your life and say, am I loving what I do? Am I being filled with joy and gratitude on a daily basis? And if the answer is no longer yes, then you can get curious and say, why not? What's changed or what needs to adjust? And you can choose to recalibrate yourself so that you fall back within your own definition.
Exactly.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, thank you for that. And thank you so much for being our guest today. You've been absolutely fabulous. And I just want to see if people want to learn more about you or the organization you run. Where can they find you?
All you have to do is go to the website, www.gatsbyglass.com, and you can get all sorts of information there.
Love it. Perfect. Well, for those of you listening at home, I certainly hope that you took a message of empowerment and inspiration to find your own grit, your own will, your own determination in building something today with a look for tomorrow and not being so stuck on a single perspective that you lose the joy of innovation and agility and being able to see what's ahead. And just take a moment, pause, and find out, are you clear about what you bring to the table? Are you clear about what you stand for? Because Kelly certainly is, and she runs a brand that embodies, and she personally embodies, elegant, strong, and innovative. So my question to you is, do you? Maybe those aren't your three words, but what are they? And if you don't have them, get curious, go find them, because when you know who you are and what you stand for, you can do everything with extreme intentionality and you go so much further, so much faster, and it's so much more fun. Thank you so much, Kelly, for being on the show today. And for those of you listening at home, I'll catch you on the next episode.
Thank you so much for having me, Madeline. It was my pleasure.
Oh, wonderful. I love chatting with you. We'll chat again soon.
Please.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Scaling the Gap. If today's episode inspired you or sparked an idea, I'd love to hear about it. If you're an ambitious leader with a story to share, visit proqsystems.com, click on Media and Events, then select Podcast to apply to be our guest. We'd love to spotlight your journey. Also, don't forget to follow the show and leave us a review to help bring more transformative insights to leaders just like you. You can also connect with me, Madeline McCray, on LinkedIn, for more conversations, access to our exclusive tools and resources. Until next time, keep scaling your impact and building a legacy that matters.